Okay, so you guys can't, you feel, you know, everyone should know if you have any questions or comments about what it is that I'm saying or anything that's being said, you can press star six and jump in the queue. Let me put it in Q&A. All right, peace, brothers and sisters. I want to thank you for attending this Black Wallets Matter members only town hall meeting. We're going to, like I said earlier, we're going to be a little bit less formal than we normally are. But my name is Brother Lou, and the organization Black Wallets Matter is for the purposes of, you know, it's a group of brothers and sisters who are coming together to change the social and economic conditions on the state of affairs in Black America. We are the intrepid brothers and sisters who are willing to put our money where our mouth is and actually and take action. So I'm not going to go into my normal introduction, but I just want to say this because Sister Shauna and I were talking earlier, and one of the things, oh, and then another brother that I was talking to earlier as well. So what this organization is trying to do, in essence, is something that, I mean, I haven't seen it done before within the Black community. And I mean, I guess maybe we could say the Panthers did it, you know, the Nation of Islam, you know, things like that. But, you know, I mean, we're really trying to create like a national movement with what we're doing. And since the blueprints of how the Panthers did what they did and the Nation of Islam and all those things, since that information is not readily available to us, we are essentially pulling this thing together as we go along. There are going to be a lot of bumps in the road. There are going to be a lot of missteps. It is not due to incompetence. I assure you, I am a very competent brother. The people that I try to work with, the people that I try to bring to the organization, I am very rigorous in my vetting before I, you know, before I introduce things. But a lot of times, it's like, you know, you just want to give brothers and sisters a shot because that's what we need. Sometimes things are going to work out, sometimes things aren't. The bottom line, what we all need to understand is that this is a very, very important job, what you know, that we are doing. So we're blazing the trail. We are the pioneers. We are getting the arrows in our back. But once we figure this thing out, we'll be able to leave this blueprint for future generations. They won't have this misstep. Most of us have lived pretty full lives thus far, you know, by the grace of God or the universe or whatever it is that you believe in, we are all here and we are all able to participate in this thing. And you know, I want to thank you all for sticking with us. I want to thank you all for working with me, and you know, sometimes I may say I'm going to get back to you, and I may be tied up, I may be busy. I just want you to know we are trying to blaze a new trail, and we have to stay the course if we want to see this thing through. So as you guys know, one of the main goals of this organization, like I said, is to create a national organization, a national movement, so that our brothers and so we can empower our brothers and sisters. And one of the main important things is to gather the votes. The way that we are going to get the votes, though, is by showing and proving to the people in their local areas, in these major Black cities, that we have their best interests in mind. So the initial plan of this organization was to amass the funds, start a business, employ our brothers and sisters, you know, use that as visibility, and so on and so forth. A lot of members have expressed interest in starting their own local chapters, right? And so we began dubbing it the ambassadorship program. So we had another sister who was, you know, she came on strong and she helped outline some of the tenets of the ambassadorship program. And we just had another sister who was also helpful and instrumental in creating this thing. So you know, I've been working on it, and I think we have a pretty refined model of how the ambassadorship program could work with and would require very little out-of-pocket money, probably even none. No, it's going to take money. Everything takes money. Let me not say that. But very, very little money out of the initial, out of the pocket. So the initial, the goal of the ambassadorship program is to establish chapters or local branches of the parent organization in any town, city, or state, or country where two or more founding members of Black Wallets Matter wish to serve their local Black community. I have people hit me up from Africa. I have people hit me up from the UK. I have people hit me up from Canada all the time, and they are interested in doing this. And I'm like tired of telling them, sorry, we have nothing for them. So this is kind of what we have prepared. The requirements to establish a local chapter, it will require at least two founding members residing in the same geographical location, and they must agree to work together. The founding ambassadors must establish an administrative board, and the roles of that board is to address local chapter issues. So, you know, one area like no Flint, they need to worry about their water. Other places may need to worry about crime. Other places may need to worry about litter or whatever, HIV, whatever it is. So your local chapter can focus on the things that are important to the people in your community. But, you know, still keep in mind that you are working in accordance with Black Wallets Matter. So the administrative roles will be president, whose main task will be to keep focus on the core goals of the organization and strategize how to best achieve them. So the president of that organization, of that chapter, would be a person who has creative thinking and problem solving and strong communication skills. But as the president, you must be willing to accept responsibility for the successes and failures of your chapter. You must be benevolent, right? So when you are dealing with brothers and sisters, especially with something new, there may be challenges. You are going to have to put your ego aside, and you're going to have to say, okay, I understand you are unhappy with this, but, you know, we have a bigger goal, and that couldn't be that. You can't be, you can't yell at people flying off the handle and things like that. The next role will be the vice president. The vice president's main task is to provide managerial support to the president and oversee implementation. So that role would be best suited for a person with business operations experience or background, strong organizational and executional skills. The vice president must be a person capable of setting deadlines and benchmarks and making sure that the chapter adheres to them. The next role would be the secretary, whose main task is to provide administrative support for the organization. And that would be best suited for a person with strong writing and typing and organizational and communication skills. As most people know from different types of businesses, the assistant, the secretary, whatever you want to call it, they are usually the glue of the whole thing, and they're one of the people who know all the ins and outs. But they don't usually, you know, they're usually not responsible for things getting executed. They're just responsible for facilitating some of the tedium. Then the fourth person will be the treasurer, whose main task is to handle the local chapter's finances and provide quarterly progress and financial reports to the national organization. That is best suited for a person with finance and accounting, or the finance or accounting background, and they must understand business operating practices and budgets and things like that. The responsibilities of these ambassadors are as follows. The first thing that a person will have to do if they become an ambassador is they will have to find a free or inexpensive local meeting place to conduct town hall meetings. Potential locations include library conference rooms, community centers, large barbershops and beauty salons, restaurants, catering halls, Masonic temples, VA halls, and churches. Excuse me. Brother Cujo and I were talking about churches earlier, and he said one of the good things, put your religious, beliefs and things like that aside. One of a good reason to possibly partner up with a church is because, one, they usually already have the type of space that we need. And then also by partnering with them, it would make it look as if the church is actually contributing back or helping the community in conjunction with Black Wallets Matter. So that may be something for people to definitely pay attention to. So the other goal is to raise the awareness of Black Wallets Matter by inviting guests to weekly or biweekly local town hall meetings. That's up to the, you know, to the president and vice president. And the means of marketing would include distribution of flyers, business cards, and social media networks. The parent organization will help find additional members. So, you know, pretty much the same way that we get new members on calls each week through our marketing, we would have people come in, and if, you know, there's a way like we can see, you know, check where people are from locally and then say, hey, there's a local chapter, blah, blah, blah. And then the town hall meetings will consist of screening an edited version of the Black Wallets Matter blueprint. So I will probably get one edited down to about 10 or 15 minutes. And then there will be a Q&A session to answer questions about the organization. And then finally, inviting guests to become association members. The final part is to collect local membership dues and remit an agreed upon percentage to the national organization. So we haven't quite decided what a local membership due would be, but it would be higher than our national organization because. So what we're thinking. So one of the ideas we are floating around. So the national, so the local organization membership may be $50, and out of the 50, they would only send 10 back to the organization, to the parent organization. So that way they will have $40 to use within their local organization. And the $10 would help cover some of the administrative costs that the organization, you know, that the national organization has to deal with, and then to offset some of the marketing costs. We haven't really narrowed down because we don't know like how much it's going to cost, but we'll figure that out. Excuse me. And so far, the things that need to be done just essentially takes two people from any particular area. So we have two people from Houston on the phone. We have two people from Chicago on the phone. We have two people from Detroit on the phone. Actually, we got three people from Chicago. We have a few brothers and sisters on this call. It just takes two people to say, okay, we're going to work together. Okay, so what are we going to do? First order of business, we need to go find some place for us to have a meeting. That could even include a backyard. It could include a barbershop. It can include the back of one of those restaurants, like where they have the little group areas or something like that. Doesn't take much, and putting together some flyers, right? So you get the flyers, you get the people to the meeting, you discuss what's going on with the blueprint, and then you ask them to become members. When they become members, this is what you say. This is the action plan for year one. So the goal is to become a financially self-sustaining organization, the chapter, the local chapter, and it should aim to accomplish the following goals within the first year of operation. These will be outlined as milestones. The first goal is to pool membership dues and conduct fundraising events. So if it's two of you guys and you price out like a fundraising event of like $2,000 or something, that's the first goal. We need to get enough members so that we can at least have $1,000. Then you guys can do a fundraising event like block parties where you rent a bouncy house and you sell tickets, you get some carnival rides maybe. You can have concession stands and sell water and cakes and chips and, you know, all these different things. Probably can even get a food truck or something in there. You can do these children's parties where the kids come and, you know, you rent a pony and the kids get their face painted and balloons and whatever else, right? So you just, like, block off a street and you can do that. Or like they do out here, they have this little civic hall and – the parties are from like 7 to, I want to say, 9 or 10, and they play all that music that's on like that kids bop CD, right? So it's kind of like cool music, but there's no curses, nothing, and they sell pizza. They sell slices of pizza and juice and candy. And you know how people are when it comes to their kids. They are going to spend. Just give me a moment, Sister Jacqueline, until I finish saying what I'm saying, and then we'll open it up. Then we have bake sales. You can get candy sales, right? So I believe like Costco, Sam's Club, or whatever they have that fundraising candy pack. And then, I mean, we could go old school and start doing dinners and card games and stuff like that. We have a brother, Brother Snow. He's from Florida. And when he came on board, that was the first thing he said. He was like, man, we need to go old school, just start having like some jams and playing some cards and selling some fish. And I was like, that ain't bad, because I just went to a fish fry this weekend. So anyway, so with the funds from the fundraising, and so we would combine the funds from the fundraising with the membership dues, and the first thing that the organization would do is start a small local business with the aim of employing some young men and women in the area. Businesses with low-cost startup costs include lawn care services, commercial window cleaning, auto detailing. We had a sister that made a suggestion last Thursday. She was saying she would just love for someone to come to her house and clean her car and her driveway. So that is definitely something that could be done. Junk removal services and moving services, right? So the organization gets together some money and go and get a truck or a van or whatever it is and go grab some young strapping lads and have them pass out flyers and Home Depot, right? So you can go, people get furniture, bring, you know, tell them, hey, I can help you bring your stuff home. Or, hey, if you have any junk, we can come and remove all your junk. Local delivery services, so that's like what I said, you know, you can help people bring stuff home. Or you could also help the elderly, right? Guys can learn how to cut trees. Now, I know some of you guys in the South and some of the more rural areas, you guys know your way around with a chainsaw and, you know, you guys still go out in your backyard and things like that. Us city boys, we don't know how to do that stuff. But that is definitely available. We have snow removal services, so we know how to shovel some snow up here. Y'all probably don't have that problem down there. And then I was suggesting that we train these brothers and sisters how to fix cell phone screens, cell phones and tablet screens, because almost every other person you look at the phone, it's crap. So I'm sure we could figure out some way to get a bunch of screens in real cheap from someplace and train people, have them coming in, show them what's required, and boom, there you go. Next thing you know, we got a nice little business. And they can meet people in Starbucks. They can meet people at the library. They can meet people anywhere to fix these problems. Okay, three. So with the profits from the local businesses and the membership dues, the chapter will go and find a permanent location. We'll find a local chapter office. The space should be not large enough to accommodate some of the social programs that we are thinking. So it should be large enough for us to buy computers and make a computer lab for the youth and adults so that they can learn computer programming skills and robotics. So my children, the school they go to, they learn robotics with this, with Lego. The Lego company has these things, you get to slap them together, but then it has like these little motors and stuff like that, and they program the motors on the computer, and that attaches also by, you know, Legos, like snapping together, and, you know, and it gets to run a path. That would be really cool. That's a nice introduction to robotics and a nice introduction to computer programming. Of course, we can have financial literacy courses, you know, so people can learn how to manage their household budgets. We can form investment groups. So if people are coming together and they're thinking about, hey, let's pull some money together to learn how to flip a house, or, you know, let's flip houses or whatever it is, or, you know, I'm an advocate of investing in businesses. But if they want to form an investment group for that purposes, then that's good. One of the other things that they will be learning, it will be paramount in all of these community centers, they will learn what's called like the Black Codes. I don't know if you guys seen that posted on our Facebook page, but it's essentially like a cultural cultural shift that our brothers and sisters need. And it's, you know, and it's things like, hold on, I'll read some to you. It's like, Black people don't kill each other. Black people don't shoot each other. Black people help each other. You know, things like that. These are especially things that are important to teach our children. And we want to make sure that we have that at the forefront of our organization. So it would be really cool if when people come in, they kind of repeat this thing like a Pledge of Allegiance or something. You know what I'm saying? Because they really, really need to internalize that. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Yeah, so now Sister Jacqueline, well, Sister Sony was in the queue. So let me get to Sister Jacqueline. If anyone else have any questions or comments about anything that I mentioned, then please press star 6. Yes, Sister Jacqueline.
A few questions. First, with the dues, are the dues going to be on a graduated level, such as working adults, seniors/retirees, and students? Because if you're trying to build a membership, there may be older adults that are retired that may not be able to give what dues that you're looking for.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't thought really hard about the membership
structure of the dues. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, because it's going to really be based on what the area is. All right, so some areas the members may be able to, you know, chip in $50, no problem. Other places they may not, right? So yeah, if you're like in New York, getting $50 from people may be, you know, probably it's not going to be a problem. If you're somewhere in the middle of Alabama or whatever, maybe it might be a little challenging. And so then you guys have to set your sights a little bit lower. But again, maybe the operations, the operational overhead may be lower. So I really haven't figured that out yet. That's why we are really going to look for one or two pilot programs, one or two pilot ambassadors or whatever, to find out what we don't know, work through the kinks, and then once we have everything sorted out, then we'll have definitive answers for, you know, for a lot of the unknowns.
But you're open to a graduated fee?
I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea at this point. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. My second question had to do with the fundraisers. So for liability insurance, will the home chapter be providing that to the ambassador chapter, or will they be responsible for getting that insurance on any events or planning that they're doing?
They will be responsible for that. There you go. Well, see, something I didn't even think about. So maybe we won't do the insurance, or maybe there's a company that handles all of that. So if you, I know out here you can like set up like an obstacle course in your backyard, or they do it in like these fields or something like that, and it's big. The obstacle course is all bouncy stuff. I don't know how they do that, and I'm not sure if someone gets like an additional insurance writer, but they slap them up pretty frequently. So whatever the cost is, I'm sure it's not prohibitive. And those are really fun too, and they're fun for kids and adults. One of those inflatable obstacle courses, they're great.
I know, but they also have their risks. So that's why I was asking who would be responsible for the liability on it. But
okay.
Third question. Are you stuck in doing the business first rather than getting the community center up where you're doing all of these social sort
absolutely.
Of activities?
Absolutely. There, it makes no sense to try to sustain social activities if you have no sustainable source of funding. How are you going to keep the doors open? How are you going to pay the light? How are you going to pay the secretary? How are you going to pay the janitor? You have to have a source of funding. The membership dues, the membership dues are going to come. They're going to fluctuate. They're going to go up. They're going to go down. But if you have business, and business goes up and down. But once it reaches a certain point, the business will serve two purposes. One, it will be employing young men and women in the area, in that local area, which makes a vital impact, right? So that will raise the visibility of the organization, and then it would also provide the organization with needed funds. So, you know, so the social good is really, you know, so being able to help somebody and say, hey, we got computer training programs is one thing, but hey, we got some jobs is totally another.
Oh, understood. I was just wondering if, for visibility purposes, if we couldn't get grants to get some of those things going while the business portion is in process.
Well, this organization is not a nonprofit, so I had a brother who was looking into some grants based on our minority status, based on minority business status. But even still, it's like you got to jump through so many hoops, and you have a long waiting process. With the way that we're talking about doing it, two people can get together and say, hey, let's go out. I know about 10 people. We can get $200 a piece from them. Go buy a truck. Hey, I got two little young nephews who get in trouble. Let's throw them in the truck and send them around with some flyers, and you're in business like that next day or next week. No red tape, no bureaucracy. Like places like Philly, you have what they call that free enterprise type thing. So you most of the time, if you're just doing something like for yourself, you don't even need a business license most of the time until you start generating a certain type of income, you know, a certain level of income. Right. So it's just going to depend on the local area that we start first.
Yeah, I think Chicago, you need a permit for almost everything. I think that's starting to let you do home cooked goods.
Yeah, New York online. Too. You need a permit. Yeah, New York, you need a vendor's license, a peddler's license, a this. Yeah. So it's the same type of thing. But some places you could just walk right out your front door and start knocking on people's door and say, hey, can I cut your grass? Hey, can I do this? So.
Okay. And are we open to franchising black businesses that are already established?
We do not have the money for that. But these are local chapters. So imagine yourself, right? So imagine it's you and like two or three other members, and you guys say, okay, where are we going to start? You guys will probably be starting with much of nothing. So you guys say, hey, look, we can put together about $100 and get some flyers. And I have a cousin who has, you know, he'll let us use the back of his barbershop, or he'll let us use his barbershop. Like, that's why this is the way that it is. It's like no excuses, no hurdles, no nothing. It's like hitting the ground running. It's like there's no excuses. Once this thing that I'm reading from something, and once it's finalized, you'll be able to look in the members area. You'll be able to download it once you, you know, get the two or three local members. You guys will be able to look at this thing and start the next day. If you do it early in the morning, you could go run to Staples and get some flyers printed out. We're going to put like a mock-up of a flyer or something. You know, you guys can change it or whatever. You can get that, and you can say, hey, Brother Lou, this is what we're thinking, blah, 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 blah. And we say, okay, cool, give it the stamp of approval and run with it. No bureaucracy, no red tape. Implementation is you know, execution is king at this point.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you. Caller from 513-428.
Hello?
Yeah, I didn't get your name. Peace. Yes. Your name, brother?
Hey, what's up, Brother Lou? This is Chris from Cincinnati.
Peace, brother. Yeah, peace. Hold on, brother. Hold on. And we were talking about the Susu, right, brother?
Yes. Yep, exactly.
Is it Brother Chris J, right?
Yes. Yep.
Right. Okay, cool. Hey, thank you. I'm glad you're on the call. So Brother Valerie and I were talking. You know what? I'll let me just say this real quick. Here's something else that's cool that can be done with this. So the Brother Chris and I, we were talking about Susus the other day. This was last week. This was how, what the Asians do is, so let's say it's like five of them, and they all have $10,000 or whatever it is, or $2,000 rather. They all pay into this pot every month, and then each month, you know, each person in that hand, they get the whole $10,000, and they use that money to open up their nail salon. That's what they do to open up. That's why they're able to open up all these businesses so fast and barely even speak any English. So there was someone who interviewed, what was that? That was a beauty supply store, right, brother? The one where they were talking about that. There was someone who interviewed a beauty supply store owner, and they asked her how she was able to do it. and she was in, and I guess their susu was like at the 10,000 mark, because when her hand came around, she got $100,000. If these local chapters started doing something, doing the same thing, and this is another reason why I was saying we need to implement really quick. If you had local chapters, let's say we had six of them, and they were paying into like a susu or whatever it is, and so it's like $1,000 a month. Every 6 months, each chapter would have $12,000. That's $24,000 for that local chapter. That could really make an impact for some of the programs that these local chapters want to do. So that's why I was like really excited about this, because this thing can get off the ground with like basically nothing. All right, sorry, brother. What was your question? I'm sorry, man.
Oh yeah, man. All I was gonna say is, man, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to go. Like, everything you're saying is basically stuff I've already been working on. So okay. I just need to know how we can move like right now, because I got a space. You know, so like you talking about, we need a, you know, local branch needs a space to meet up. I already got that. I got one other person with me. So I mean,
Are they a member of Black Wallace Matter? So they have to be a founding member. But that's funny, because I do know about two. Hey, sister, there you go. Yep, see, there you go, right there. Hold on, sister. Let me put you. I was thinking about that. And you guys have another one from 513. Hold on, let me unmute her. So you guys, I believe you guys are in Cincinnati together. Sister Benita?
Hi. Yes, it's me. I was just going to ask if, because I did hear, you know, that there was someone else, you know, in Cincinnati, if you had a directory or could do it, some type of a directory.
I will link you guys up. Yep, I will.
Okay.
I will. I'll figure it out, and then you guys can, you know, so everyone can, you can send me an email. You can send me you can shoot me back an email, reply, and say, Brother Lou, I am in such and such, and I am interested. So I know we got a bunch of people in Atlanta, Cincinnati. That's cool. I think we have two more people that are in Cincinnati as well. So that really is good for you guys. And see, look, this thing is coming together without even thinking about it. All right. Anyone else has another question or comment about what we were discussing, the ambassadorship program? Press star 6. We have a few other brothers and sisters who came in on the call, so let me tag them. Caller from 973460, your first name, please.
Hashim.
Caller from I'm sorry?
Hashim Bailey.
Rasheem Bailey?
Hashim.
Hashim, okay. Okay. Okay, brother, thank you. Sister Grace, I see you. Just give me a second, sister. And caller from 312-967, your first name, please.
Hey.
I'm sorry?
Hey.
Hey, Trey, hey, how you doing, sister? All right. Trey. Okay, and caller from Peace Sister Kendra. Let me see who else we have. Who else we have? Caller from 951 area code. Your first name, please. 951-4241, your first name, please. Hello? No, I just need your first name. Just say your first name.
My name is Angelo Lawrence.
Peace, Brother Angelo. Okay, Brother Angelo. Gotcha. All right. Did you have something? Sister Grace is ahead of you in the queue. Is this something that you wanted to? Did you want to chime in on it?
Oh no, I'm just getting in. I didn't hear the first part of the conversation, so I'm just gonna finish listening.
Okay, great. All right. Okay. Yes, Sister Grace.
Yes. Hi, Brother Lou. How are you?
I am fine, Sister.
That's good. I have a question. Do you have any members here in North Carolina in the Raleigh area?
I will find out. I can't recall if we get a lot of, what is that, 919? I can't recall, but I will find out for you. Because you have the hair braiding school, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that would be a skill. That would be a very good skill to pass on to a lot of sisters. Did you increase enrollment?
Yes, I did. I'm also in the process of getting ready to launch another business in 2 months. But this one is going to be nationwide, so it's not just in a state area. It's really like east or west coast.
Okay. All right, be sure to let us know.
I sure will. It's going to help a lot of us in the long run. So. But,
all right, cool. Yep, keep us posted.
Okay, sounds good. Let me know if you have any members in the Raleigh area so I can see what we can do together.
Okay, great.
All right,
so brothers and sisters, so that was essentially, so we were going over the tenets of this new revised ambassadorship program. So again, like I said, we have a streamlined method for brothers and sisters in their local areas to be able to form like local chapters. You can just get off the ground. Again, like I said, so you're going to need at least two or three, you're going to need at least two or three members in your area that are interested in doing something. If you know someone in your local area who's interested, you can invite them to become a member of Black Wallets Matter. And then, you guys can form up or whatever it is. And like I said, after I like really refine, this document here, it'll be available in the members area. You guys can download it. You can peruse it. You can look at it. And then, you could, I'll create some type of form and it will, you can just say, hey, is there, are there any members, available in such and such place? And then we'll send that out, on an email when we make our town hall announcements or whatever at the bottom of the email or whatever. I'll say there are members who are currently looking for other members in such and such place. So that is that. Next topic that I want to discuss. So Sister Shauna and I, so the origin of this was Brother Cujo. A few weeks back, Brother Cujo proposed that the organization with the current level of membership we have, which is about 300 plus minus whatever, 315, sorry, that we pool our money, we pool our resources, and we buy a trucking company. And we use that money, we use that profits to do the larger, the overall goal, that the organization was talking about. So we begin discussing the ideas with Sister Shauna, and she had some really interesting suggestions for us. She suggested that we pool the money and we basically were able to leverage that into a larger sum of money and then go out and buy an even larger business than we were initially thinking. Brother Cujo was talking about buying a truck or two. Sister Shauna is talking about possibly buying a $10 or $20 million trucking empire. So I want to let this is something that we were discussing. We haven't fleshed out every last single detail, but in the interest of full transparency, I just want everyone to know, some of the discussions that go on behind the scenes so that, everyone is kept in the loop. So, Sister Shauna, if you can press *6, or actually, no, you don't even need to. Hold on. Let me find you. Where are you? Hello, Sister? Sister Shauna?
I'm here.
Okay. Great. Okay, so if you just want to, just give a little overview of what we can possibly, you know, what's possible about pooling our money. Now this would be an additional investment, right? So this would be outside of the, it would be outside of what the actual organization is doing in terms of things. So this would be an investment so that we could, you know, amass a large source of revenue, a large source of funding, and it also would, it would be able to pay out dividends to its investors. So I know a lot of people were interested in forming an investor group within the current membership, so that this is what something like that would look like.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Lou. And I'm trying to compartmentalize this whole thought in my head. I don't want to overwhelm everyone or anyone, because this thought can be pretty overwhelming if I give you too much at once. So I'm going to try to compartmentalize this. And Brother Lou, please stop me if I'm going too far.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So the concept is really about how you can control the economic face and power in a specific area. So the way that you do that is that you take the businesses that are either for sale or need partnerships, and you basically purchase them or merge them. All right, so that's the concept. All right, any given time in any given big or large city, there's over 1,500 businesses that are for sale, either for retirement, the owner lives overseas or not in the local area, or health reasons. Those are the major three areas. And so those types of businesses, you know, considering all things going well, they are primed for controlling the market in a particular area. So if you have if you take the top three businesses, the top three growing businesses in the United States right now, and that would be manufacturing, IT, and then construction. And construction is pretty loaded because it's a type of construction, but for this conversation purposes, it would be construction. Those are the top three leveraged, booming, labor-intensive businesses out there. So the idea is to, if we go in our, I'm in Houston, we have Chicago, Detroit, the major cities, and we were to buy all of those or buy within those three markets, then we would be able to corner the economic and labor within that area. All right. So how do we do that? Which is the nitty-gritty to the conversation. So how do we do that? What we do is, like, we do it like most other companies do it when they are in growth or in expansion. We just, you know, this type of information just wasn't privy to regular people, should I say. So we are able to buy a corporation's corporate papers and credit. And so what does that mean? That means, if you all remember Circuit City, if we had went to Circuit City when they stopped being in operation, or better yet, let me give a different example. What do you think, here's the question, what do you think happened to the corporate documents of Circuit City once they stopped being in operation? Like, what happened to their EIN number? What happened to their state registration? What happened to their corporate credit, everything that they bought? What happened to their Paydex that's on Dun & Bradstreet, which is just their credit rating profile? What do you think happened to all of those corporate papers once Circuit City decided that it was no longer going to be in operation?
I think H.H. Gregg or Tiger Direct brought them, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Yep.
So what happens in a, exactly. So what happens in companies that go operationally bankrupt, they don't go corporate documents bankrupt. So the operation is bankrupt, and they can no longer operate, but H.H. Grant can go and buy the corporate documents, meaning they can go and buy their EIN number, their state documents, their Paydex credit rating, and take over it, which means they now are in possession all of the financial and credit power that that company built over the last 20 years, right? And they also bought the longevity. So what we could do as a group or an individual with multiple groups is go in and find these companies that have longevity, that have a Paydex rating, and have a solid corporate structure with credit on it already. And we go buy their documents. And so what does that mean? It means we now have access to whatever that company has had or has done while they were in business those 3, 5, 7 years, however long they've been in business. And so if we have access to that, then that means we have access to cash. We have access to capital. That means we can go to the bank. But, of course, with all things lending, corporate documents, even though, you know, I could go to the bank and get money off my corporate documents, there still has to be a person standing behind it to guarantee, not sign for it because it doesn't go on your credit, but to guarantee. You know, a human being has to stand behind it. So the human being would have to have a sufficient credit rating, which is not much of a big deal. Credit lines and all those things to increase credit, all that stuff can be bought. So if you were to have a decent credit scenario for the individual and you put them behind those corporate documents, we would be able to have the buying power of those documents that we bought. So that's the concept behind it. Of course, what you buy is as good as how much you pay for it. So if we go and find a $3,500 core, its buying power may be only $75,000 and its credit rating may be pretty low. So that means we probably have to invest more money into it so it could be to a place where we want it to go, right? But if we wanted something that was worth $2 million, $10 million, $6 million, right, that means that we would have to have multiple corporations, and we'd have to invest more money into those corporations to have the buying power that we were trying to get to. So what I'm trying to get at is that whatever we're trying to buy, whatever we want to purchase, whatever we want to invest in, it's all a matter of how much we put up front to buy what we need, okay? Which leads directly into what Brother Lou was talking about. What is it that we want to use this thing for? What is it that we want to buy, right? So do you want to buy a business, or as a group, would we like to go in and corner the market and deal with manufacturing, IT, and transportation? And if every city, all of those 1,500 businesses that are for sale at any given time in any given major city, if we were to incrementally increase our buying power with these corporate purchases, then we would have some pretty decent astronomical power, some pretty decent dividend payments, and some pretty decent labor power. We would be able to control who's hired, you know, who's doing what, who's receiving training, And, of course, that opens the market for training and education and other things. So that's pretty much it. That's the best.
All right.
Best I could summarize it, Brother Lou. I hope I did.
No, that was excellent. No, that was excellent. And again, so for all those listening, brothers and sisters, so you know that this organization's goal is to be able to employ hundreds and thousands of our brothers and sisters if possible. Definitely to be able to go in there into certain areas and control the economics. So essentially what happens is when you go in and you own a large trucking or manufacturing or IT company or whatever it is, you basically buy, so you're buying a few things. You're buying that business clout in that area. You're buying whatever kind of political benefits come with that. And again, you're buying education of how to operate in some industries or fields that, black folks usually aren't privy to, because that's one of the biggest problems that's, hindering us from the type of success that we want to achieve. We don't have a lot of the, we don't have a lot of the skill, a lot of the know-how, because those things aren't passed on to us from our parents. And so we would actually be buying that. So the purpose of sharing that with the group is to let everyone know, what our intentions are, and to gauge interest with anyone who may be interested in working. So this wouldn't necessarily entail all the members of the organization. This will be, a group to get, to get the ball rolling. And then once it's established, because I believe the dividends will not be paid out for about 18 to 24 months. So we're talking about, a year and a half to 2 years before you would actually begin receiving dividends. But the beauty of the model that she's talking about is when we form these types of things, once everything is rolling, we would be able to sell off a piece or be able to offer, parts of that business as an investment to other members or to other brothers and sisters who are looking to invest in black businesses, but they need to be large enough, they need to be investable. So this thing right here is really, really talking about taking control of our economic destiny, our economic future. So if anyone has any questions about this, then, by all means, press *6. And if anyone is interested, then you please express that as well. And hold on, we have Sister Jacqueline. Yes, sister.
Hi, is it me?
Yes, it's you, sister.
Okay, just two questions. Are we talking about buying healthy businesses that have just stopped operating because of a retirement, or are we talking about buying businesses that have gone out of business and now their documents are there?
Okay.
We're talking about two different things. One thing is about purchasing a corporation so you can have access to funding. And one is about buying a business for operation so you can have a revenue stream. Okay? So the businesses that are not in operation, that we're buying the corporate documents, those documents are used for funding. That's how we go to the bank and get the money. Now, the businesses that we buy that are, for people that are in retirement or whatever, those would be fully operational businesses that have the structures and everything in place. The owner is just looking to sell it for whatever reason.
Okay, second question in terms of transportation. Why wouldn't we go out to the black independent operators who already have trucks, they have already been in business, have the expertise, and try to pull them into a transportation business?
Well, I think that's the point, is to pull them into the transportation business, But the problem with that is that what they know how to do is drive the trucks. They don't know how to run the business.
No, I'm talking about owner-operators.
Say that one more
the
time.
The independent owner-operators actually know
right.
how to run
they don't,
the business.
Right, the independent owner-operator, they're good at independently owning and operating their rig. They're not good at running a business with multiple independent operators with receivables, payrolls, permits,
right.
and all of that stuff. So there's a difference between an independent operator and then running an entire logistics company.
I understand that. I'm saying why aren't we pulling them into one individual company?
I think that's the goal. Right. I think that's the ultimate goal, is to pull them in and identify them in every city. So if we were to identify a transportation company in Chicago that is already operational, the point of purchasing a company, transportation specifically, freight forwarding, the purpose of purchasing a company is because you want want the contracts and the structure and the revenue that's already in place. So once you have that, then you could pull in the independent operators in the local area. So the only reason why we would go out and purchase a logistics company that does, you know, transportation, freight forwarding, the only reason why we would do that is because they have contracts already attached, they have a structure already attached, and they already have a solid revenue stream and a place where we're not starting from zero.
Okay.
And so the next step would be, okay, so let's identify the owner-operators, the brothers that are owner-operators in the area, and get them on to this company. Let them know that we're here and we now own this company.
Okay.
And if I could just add on, sister, one of the main reasons to buy existing businesses is because it's less risk with the capital. Right, so whenever you go and you're launching a new venture or whatever, there's unknowns, right? There's risk, but if you're purchasing something that already exists, the risk it drops dramatically. So when you're pooling investment capital you're pooling investment capital, you want to you want to be as cautious as possible with where you direct those funds, and putting it into an existing business, you're essentially just purchasing a revenue stream, as the sister mentioned. Hello?
Uh-huh. I was listening.
Okay.
I hope I was able to answer your question.
Thanks, yes.
Okay, so we got Brother Angelo and Brother Ben. Hold on. Brother Angelo.
How much all this will cost us individually?
Well, it depends on how many people are interested. So we were thinking coming in at about 100 grand, maybe, right? So she said. So she said that there would be some corps that would be at lower prices. But if we really want to come in and make a smash or something like that, thinking we probably want to come in at maybe about 100 grand or so, just in case we have to buy like one or two. I mean, just in case we have to buy more than one, rather. And that should. I mean, with 100 grand, Sister Shauna, what kind of leverage would that buy us?
Well, with 100 grand investing in the build of multiple corporations, that'll put you in upwards of $10 to $20 million easily. But of course, within that 100 grand, it's assuming that there are individuals standing behind it, right? So I don't want anyone to think that this is like some magical something happening. This is the regular course of business. and the regular rules of banking still apply. So if whoever is on board with this, we have to keep in mind about capacity. So every individual person's capacity is what can stand behind as a guarantor on these corporations. So that means just like if you go to get a mortgage for your house, you may have a 720 credit score, but if your capacity to buy is only a $20,000 house, then that's all you're going to get. So what we're trying to do is make sure that everybody that is guaranteeing or that is behind these corporations, that their credit is in a place where it's going to be the least scrutinized and that we can get to a certain capacity. So basically each person represents about $500 to $1 million worth of capacity. Like we can put financial statements together, we can put tax returns together for you know an individual to be worth $1 million per person. But for us to get to $20 million, then that means we'd have to, of course, have more people. We'd have to have more assets. Like the putting together of things is going to be a whole lot more cumbersome. But with $100,000, we could build in upwards of $10 to $20 million. It just depends on the investor, the people that are willing to go in on this on the ground floor. It just depends on their capacity, depends on, you know, where they are.
And brother, so, you know, essentially we were thinking maybe no more than 20 people at 5,000 per, right? So that's, so it, and it's just a matter of like, you know, so this is an exploratory conversation. We want to see, you know, how many people have interest. We're laying some of the, you know, we're not romanticizing any of the details. We're being really upfront and real transparent because this is something that the sister and I discussed, you know, privately. And then I said, well, let's just bring it to the organization and see how everyone feels about it. All right, brother?
Yeah, so basically it's not the whole organization that's going in on it.
No.
It's just
no.
A certain amount of skew.
Yep.
Okay, that's about 5,000. That's the range now.
Yep.
Okay, that's my question.
Okay, thank you. Brother Ben.
Yeah, I just want to know when we got to come up with that. Or when's the deadline?
Well, we haven't set. So, like I said, this is an exploratory conversation. What I will do is. So whoever's on the call, if you're interested, you can just hit me back on the email, and then what I will do is probably send another email with a little bit more, with a formal presentation of the information that was shared here tonight, so that everyone would, you know, they can sit down with it, peruse it at their leisure, and if they're interested, then we will get the ball rolling. In regards to that, because this is exactly what the sister does. Sister Shauna does this as her business. And so we don't want to engage the sister and start jerking our chain. We want to make sure that people are serious. And if there are less people, less than we anticipated in regards to the 100,000, then we will just start looking at what we can do there, because the bottom line is we can do something. Something can be done. So if we have to start with 50,000, you know, I don't know. I would have to speak with the sister to see what the bare minimum would be. But I think at like some point, you know, it probably wouldn't be worth it, because the point of it is, as she said, is to try to get into a large growing industry and then pretty much, build from there, like leapfrog and build and try to dominate. So that way we have a foothold. That way, you know, black folks are known for a specific industry aside from sports and entertainment. And that's really the goal. Okay?
All right, definitely. Well, yeah, she answered my question. Oh, just to let you know, too, I got in a little late. I did put everything together as well on that that site.
Okay.
So everybody will have that training tomorrow for the DirecTV thing up there.
Okay.
Just fill you in on that as well. But I definitely want – I'm in on that. I definitely want to, you know, like I said, it gets to be in the directory. I'll email you about that. But I definitely want to talk to that sister as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Brother Angelo.
Yeah, so if we're trying to reach the goal quicker, wouldn't it be better for all of us to participate, 500, 1,000 apiece? Would that be more reasonable?
Well, the reality of it is we will not have everyone participate 500, 1,000. And the other part is when you have too many cooks in the stew, you know that saying? So we need people who understand the nature of investment. Because again, as we said, you know, there may not be dividends for 18 to 24 months. The other thing is, let's say if we have to start off small and we aren't able to reach like that acquisition goal. And so we're like, okay, cool. We have this little business and, you know, no one, you know, we can't pull any money out. Let's piggyback and go up, you know, buy another bigger one or whatever it is. We're going to need people who are patient in regards to the investment. And unfortunately, that is not going to be a reflection on everyone that is part of the organization. So, you know, this is serious business, and so we want to put that out there for people who are serious.
Got you. Good point.
All right.
Yes,
sir. Okay, good. So, brothers and sisters, as I said at the beginning, this is not, you know, we're not going to stay here all night. I just wanted to share some of the, you know, some of the things that we were discussing, some of the things that I've been working on. If anyone has anything that they would like to say or, you know, anything they would like to ask in parting, press star 6. If not, we are going to end the call and everyone can go, you know, you can enjoy the rest of your evening. I got to get up in the morning. All right. So if that, no one has anything to say, we are going to conclude. All right. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. And if anyone, you know, if anyone's going to come on the Thursday call, then I will see you there. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Peace, brother.